Today's episode of Market Talk brought to you in part by GrowMark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you get local expertise that's both exceptional and up to date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next. And a good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for this Monday, September 20th. Thank you so much for joining us here today and making us part of your day. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Find us online, markettalkag.com. That's our home on the web, markettalkag.com. All of our streaming links are there. You can download the podcast, subscribe, and watch the video version as well. Everything, it's all linked up on our website, markettalkag.com. Well, we had a risk-off trading day here for Monday to start off our week. A lot of news to talk about. A lot of it not really positive, but we're going to dive in anyway and see what's going on. Let's bring in our good friend John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing this afternoon. John, from the get-go, from the Sunday night open, we're hearing all these rumors about China, Evergrande, however you say it. Just a lot of pressure starting there that spilled into our day session. It was risk off across the board here today. And I think we should probably just start with this China news because that seemed to be the biggest headwind in front of our markets here today. And globally, markets were just down across the board.
Yeah, you know, it actually started a little bit on Friday. There's some first whispers, towards the end of last week, what's going on with Evergrande and some of the financial issues there. Now, quick summary, they are basically a retailer, a property developing corporation in China, but they also have their fingers in the hog industry as well as the soybean crushing industry. You know, they're a major investor. You know, just seeing some stats today, they got about $300 billion of debt, which is held through bonds through multiple nations across the world. And they're basically defaulting on their payments at this time frame. So it's sending some shockwaves through the Chinese economy as well as the Asian stock markets. It's got our market on caution mode, obviously selling off today as we're kind of as we're talking now, Dow futures trading about 1,000 points lower on the day. You know, so that's really what the concern is, that, you know, this can have what we call contagion. It can spread throughout the entire global economy if we truly see something break down. So things that were tied to the Chinese economy saw the worst selling pressure, at least to start the morning. And, you know, some things did stabilize and some things obviously stayed under pressure all day, like we saw in the bean market in that regard. So it's going to have to be something we got to keep an eye on. What's going to happen with this corporation? What happens to the Chinese economy overall? How do we react to it in terms of the Fed and money flow situations here in the United States? You know, and obviously we got a stock market that hasn't had a real major correction now for quite a while. So it's due for a pullback. Now, ironically, typically the last 2 weeks of September, if you go look at the charts, is when we had a major pullback last year at this time frame. So it also kind of hit in a window where the technical sellers are kind of sitting there waiting for something to happen. And here it is. And now we got a chance to push this price down. And again, now we'll see how it reacts overall.
It almost seems fitting that this news comes out and happens here, as you alluded to, during a seasonal window where we typically have harvest pressure. We start to make some harvest lows. Then, you know, you throw in the Gulf shipping woes that we have out there with the market trade, and just a lot of negative news towards the market, kind of maybe helping fuel some new lows here. And it seems ironic that this all has kind of come together here as we get into this seasonal window where we usually see some lows made in the grain market.
Yeah, and then add in there also Chinese holiday here too. So they're out of the market. Chinese markets in terms of the commodity sector were closed today. You know, they'll be stepping back in here shortly too. So, you know, this market really could have used a nice export sales announcement this morning on that soybean side to maybe give it some strength, and it wasn't there. So, you know, now we watch the technical side of it. You know, of the markets in terms of grains today, the soybeans were pretty ugly close, losing 20 plus cents. Got those front months trading under the 200-day moving average. So that's the first time we've closed November beans under the 200-day since August or mid-August of last year. So that's a little bit concerning there. Does that bring out some more technical sellers? you know, it's still a market that's tight on supplies. We still got a lot of questions about the crop going forward. So it could turn into a buying opportunity if we do wind up rolling over here and just seeing some technical selling. You know, so we'll have to kind of see how things again shake out. Watch the headlines. You know, in this market with the prices where they are, again, having just put strategies underneath, I think we talked about that a little bit on Thursday, the last time when I was with you, just because you don't know when something's going to hit the news wires, especially with these markets without human beings doing the trading and it's computers doing the trading, you know, things can move pretty irrationally.
Now, I want to look at some other things here in the market. Obviously, this China news is going to be one of the big ones we're going to watch closely. But of course, you know, we have a little bit of early harvest going on, and I know we're going to get our crop progress report out Monday afternoon. We'll get our first look at some soybean harvest results there, another week of corn harvest results as well. You know, we're hearing a lot about late season pressure. There's some disappointment with yields east of the Mississippi. You know, one has to wonder next couple of weeks here if we get more disappointing yields, is that going to be enough of a bullish headwind or bullish momentum to bring us back a little bit? What are your thoughts, just what you heard over the weekend from some of your clients about some of that early harvest result and what we could maybe be looking at moving forward?
You know, especially in that corn market, we had a good week last week. You know, we heard a lot of that talk and saw it in the media, disease pressure, tar spot in certain regions, you know, light test weights due to the heat that came through. And, you know, even later in the year there in terms of Illinois and Indiana, just kind of topping the crop off really quickly. You know, so there's some things that we're still going to be watching. Now, we do have some numbers coming at us next week on the 30th. We got grain stocks report coming up, so we'll have to watch what happens there. You know, we're continuing to hear some pretty interesting stories on the crop, the corn supply, and what these elevators are, you know, some of these end users are using or are purchasing for. You know, we've got some people in some regions, they got strong basis over the board. They want wet corn out of the field. They're willing to even incur the drying costs, and they just want bushels secured. And hearing that in multiple cases. So that's also telling me, you know, hey, what's going on with the cash market? You know, so that grain stocks might help that out. And then we'll follow that right up with the October supply demand report with those new grain stocks in there, as well as do we get any yield adjustments? You know, again, remember when the USDA puts these reports together, you know, the September report was put together through August when the weather improved. That August report was put together in July when it was, you know, at the peak of the heat and dry, basically, as that crop was maturing. So things might be looking a little different here in September as guys put that report together for October. You know, the market's maybe feeling that some of the reason 520 seems to be holding December corn, that, you know, the USDA moved that yield number back up. Does it come back down a little bit here on the October numbers? You know, we'll have to see. And then still that big concern overhanging both corn, beans, and wheat is what's going on with the Gulf. We're starting to get some shipping moving. You know, today's export shipment numbers were basically minimal out of the Gulf again. And that's still something that's going to be a key. You know, how does that trigger as the basis gets going here this fall? And, you know, where do these bushels need to get them shipped?
And you talk about that basis in the cash market. I think that's a great point you bring up there, John, is that even though we're slipping in futures a little bit here to start this week, there you look across the countryside, there is quite a bit of good basis. And you mentioned some folks paying a premium to get some corn secured. That might be a little bit of a saving grace for some growers here who maybe didn't necessarily have some of those protections in place and those floors in place, but they're getting a decent yield out here for early harvest, and they're saying, okay, well, you know, if I can get 50 cents, 75 cents, a dollar over, I'm going to sell, you know, and get rid of and move some grain. That might be a little bit of a saving grace in a window like this, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it can be. You know, I mean, obviously we've seen a market that's, you know, extremely pressured off the highs, seems to be holding around $5. You know, obviously, if you get a cash market, that's going to dictate everything. And if the cash market wants to pull prices back up, we'll see that happen. You know, but right now, end users in some regions are in need of supply, and they're willing to do what they need to get those supplies secured, you know, even if it's fresh off the fields or old corn that's still in the bin. So that could be a nice point for some producers to go ahead and lock some things in. You think the upside potential is there longer term, you know, go ahead and pick up some calls over top. But let's not spend a lot. I mean, if you're getting a dollar over the board for or 75 cents or even 50 cents over the board for a cash sale, let's not give 35 of that back, but at least own something out there for some time just to make sure in case everything breaks loose again in South America with weather or China gets involved in the markets and we want to run another dollar, you got something to own a pretty good sale back. The last thing I like to do in those situations, if you're selling $5.50, $6 cash corn, let's keep it at $5.50, $6 and not put a lot of risk over top on some call strategies that if the market doesn't go, it just takes away from your bottom line.
Any thoughts on USDA inspections today? I think corn export shipments, 15.9 million bushels. Just looking here, soybeans, 10.1, 20.7 million bushels of wheat. Any thoughts on some of those numbers and good or bad or neutral to their to those numbers we saw today?
Well, I mean, we weren't expecting a whole lot in the first place, obviously, with the Gulf issues. So, you know, it was good to see some bushels get out. I think it was actually a little better than the market expected. Corn kind of lifted at that time frame when those numbers came out saying, you know, hey, we are moving a little bit of this. Now, obviously, we got to break it down. Where's it come out of the Gulf? What came out of the PNW or other regions in the Gulf that could be shipping? So, you know, obviously, we expect those numbers to really start picking up here, especially the soybean side. We're now getting in that window. We need to start moving those beans in order to meet our export program. So any more closures down there are still concerning. Now, again, we got an announcement that I believe it was Cargill's going to open up again here in a couple of weeks and got some more power moving in some of these regions. It's taking time, but at least the way the wagon is moving a little bit per se in terms of getting some of these supplies out. So not expecting a whole lot in terms of those reports. Like I said, to me, at least it was a positive that some of it was moving out a little bit, maybe more than the market was expecting.
Well, John Heiberg with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on Market Talk. Coming up, we will take a look at the livestock markets today, as well as dairy and more coming up here as we continue with Market Talk for this Monday, September 20th. Back with more right after this.
As harvest begins, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to be diligent in taking the proper precautions to ensure treated seed does not enter the domestic or export grain supply. When properly handled, seed treatments are an effective agronomic tool that provides seeds the necessary protection for a strong, healthy start. Completely remove all treated seed left in containers and equipment used to handle harvested grain and dispose of it properly. Always be careful to follow state and federal guidelines for proper handling, storage, and disposal of treated seed. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you get local expertise that's both exceptional and up to date. Visit FSSystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
And we're back here on Market Talk for this Monday, September 20th. Jesse Allen with you here in studio. Thank you again for joining us. John Heimberg, our guest today with Total Farm Marketing, as we look back at a pretty rough day in the market trade. Let's segue over to our livestock sector here today. I was pleasantly surprised on Monday with the cattle market, the way that held in despite the broader commodity pressure, the risk-off mentality we saw. Choice and select cuts up on the box beef side. It's been a little while since both those categories have been higher. New show lists are mixed, but overall, the cattle market seemed to hold its own on Monday. What are your thoughts with how cattle reacted today?
Yeah, it actually traded pretty well today. Decent price action. You know, we went down and came within a few points of that low from last Monday after the JBS fire down in Grand Island, Nebraska. You know, we'll have to see if that can kind of hold. You know, we did, like you said, saw some positive movement on the export, on the retail box beef side, and that was probably the first time in a long time we've seen something like that. Now, is that a one-day pop? Is that a trend? We'll have to see. You know, still look at the select choice spread between those two. It's still extremely wide, so that tells me there's still some good demand for choice beef out there. Now, otherwise, we wouldn't be carrying a spread over $30 between the two in that regard. So, Is it a turning point? Jury's still out in my mind. I do like the fact that we did get December cattle back to positive territory, a couple bucks off the low or pushed close to that today. You know, that maybe tells me a little bit of drying up on the selling side down in that window. I'm still going to be very cautious. Typically, if the stock market rolls over, that has a direct correlation to what happens in the cattle market. You know, we got to watch the money flow. The funds have liquidated a massive amount of contracts. They're sending about 90,000 contracts 3 weeks ago, and they've shaved about half that out in 3 weeks. So they've really liquidated that cattle market. You know, maybe we're at a point where they can finally feel like they're comfortable to step back in and buy it here. So with that, you know, good price action today. Key is going to be follow through. Let's see if we get some movement higher here. We'll have to watch what cash trade does this week. Otherwise, you know, maybe this little movement here, kind of like we saw last week, could just turn into a quick little dead cat bounce that may just lead us to one more push lower.
On the hog side, pressure remained there today. I know we've seen some pork and pork products temporarily suspended from Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. That's part of the kind of the containment measures here by the U.S. to try and, you know, stop the spread of African swine fever to the U.S. mainland, which we know could be devastating for U.S. pork and trade and everything under the sun regarding that. But hogs under some pressure today. What are your thoughts on this hog chart and just what you're seeing here as we start the week and also kind of some of those ASF worries that are out there?
You know, a bit of a consolidation day in hogs. And we did still finish 80 cents on the December contract, buck plus on the deferred. So not the best close there. But again, they're still, you know, we traded a solid couple dollars off the low. So some of the price action was still pretty decent. To me, we saw retail values a little firmer today. So maybe that helps us out a little bit. We'll have to watch things. To me, it was probably a little bit more tied to the China trade. We'll have to see how that kind of plays out in the next couple of days. You know, you go look at that cash hog market, you go look at October, you go look at where December is. You know, obviously, December's pricing, the cash price is continuing to come down, being nearly $20 underneath where the index and cash market is, but that's still a massively wide premium. You know, so to me, this feels like this market wants to consolidate here. Feels a little bit like we got a bit of a bottom. There's twice now we've kind of ran down to that 72, 71 and a half area on December, and the buyers jumped right back in very, very quickly. So that could be a bit of a signal of a bottom as we put a little double bottom on the daily chart today. So we'll have to watch, but I guarantee you the next couple of days will be pretty key. If we can see some strength in retails, cash stay fairly stable, watch those export sales numbers later in the week here and see if we get some activity out of, you know, China mainly in terms of keeping this market, you know, somewhat fueled up. So I'm liking maybe we got a little bit of a floor here, especially given that discount of the futures to the cash market.
John, how about that dairy market? Any thoughts as we start our week here and take a look at dairy?
You know, dairy kind of came under the pressure of the rest of the group today. We are starting to see a little movement and something I was hoping wouldn't happen. That block barrel spread's been pretty doggone wide. Today, blocks are down 6 cents. Barrels are up, you know, 9 cents to narrow up that spread. You know, our fear is that blocks continue to move down on the top end, and that puts pressure on the milk price. Again, I mean, it's still on a bit of a slippery slope. We will see milk production report this week. I'm hoping we see some cattle move to the sidelines there or move out of production, bring those production numbers down. If we don't see that, you know, this milk market, still a bit of a slippery slope, especially with that, you know, premium being built in from the deferred contracts to the lead months.
John, any final thoughts you have for us on this Monday?
Well, it's going to stay volatile. You know, again, watch the seasonality, especially in those outside markets. You know, the stock market, if it's got some movement into it, this could be a good window for them to pull some money off the table. Don't be shocked, though. We see a lot of, you know, buy the dip mentality. You know, still here in the United States, the money supply is very supportive of the market. And if we see any weakness in terms of the economy, I guarantee you the Fed's going to step right back up and keep that money supply moving. So that's going to keep the stock market lifted, which in general will be supportive of all the commodities and the markets in general. So, you know, we may just have to ride this storm out, see what the, you know, where the shoes fall according to what's happening in China. But at this time frame, you know, make sure we're staying smart, make good decisions. You know, I talked about it on Thursday. If you got some bushels that got to get moved this fall, make sure you get some type of flooring mechanism underneath them. Because like we saw this morning, it doesn't take a lot. And next thing you know, you're down 15, 20 cents and you wish you would have. So don't forget about those ideas and just at least protect yourself until those combines get rolling and you can get that stuff to the elevator or in a bin.
John, producers need a little advice. I know they can reach out to you and the team there at Total Farm Marketing. A lot of resources you guys have at your disposal. What's the best way to reach out?
Sure. Love to chat with them anytime. Give me a call, 800 334-9779. Shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And again, our website's always there with great information at totalfarmmarketing.com. Love to reach out and chat with anybody. Even if you don't have an account, just at least give me a call. Let's talk about some ideas. You know, if it's something that you want to look at, filling out paperwork is pretty quick and easy these days to get you up and rolling, that we can access some of these positions to at least protect that risk that's in front of you.
John, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for joining us to kick off the week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great. Talk to you next week.
John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on Market Talk. That's going to do it for the Monday, September 20th edition of the show. Find us at markettalkag.com. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great afternoon.